do you know that for the last two Wednesdays, I've had a problem with my iPad. And I've had to run home and print paper and bring it back. Last two Wednesdays, I've had to do that. And I'm having a problem with my iPad right now. Isn't that funny? There it is. I got it. Okay, good. Boy, I'm going back to paper. I cannot live like this. Okay, tonight is the last time we're going to talk about a character in the Old Testament. I've had a great time. I love talking about people like Moses and Abraham and David and Joshua. I enjoy it. I enjoy learning about them and talking about them and seeing what happened to them I can learn for my life. I really do enjoy that. And tonight we're going to talk about Daniel. Daniel was a prophet. And so what I mean by that is that he would listen to what God's Spirit would tell him and write it down. And if you were a prophet, you would write down things that hadn't happened yet. It would be a prophecy. And some of the things that he wrote still have not happened yet. And he lived, I don't know, maybe 26 or 100 years ago. And some of the things that he wrote have still yet to happen. So he was a prophet. In fact, he is called a major prophet. Now, here's some Bible trivia. I used to think that if you were called a major prophet, that meant you were one of the important prophets. So you take that song the band just sang about Ezekiel. You take Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Those are called the major prophets if you have done a little Bible study. And I used to think that that was because they were the important prophets. I mean, they really did write some important things. When you think of all the things that Isaiah wrote and Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, I thought it was because they were important. But I learned later, and this is true, that they're called the major prophets not because that their writings were necessarily more important. It's because the books are longer. There are more chapters in these books. So you have the major prophets, and Daniel was one of them. And then you have the minor prophets like Haggai and Obadiah and Joel. And that's just because they didn't their books aren't as long. So now you have some good Bible trivia. Daniel has 12 chapters. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the book of Daniel, and then we'll talk about the prophet Daniel. Daniel has 12 chapters, and it's a pretty good division into two sections. The first section is pretty much the stories that we all know, like Daniel's in the lion's den. The writing on the wall, the fiery furnace. I think they made a VeggieTale on one or two of them about the fiery furnace. So they're that famous. You know, if you get a VeggieTale, you are a famous story. So that's the first six chapters. But then when you get to chapter 7, all the way through chapter 12, Daniel starts his writings. And they are very complex. I mean, you should read them, but they are very, very complex, detailed prophecies, and they're kind of hard to figure out sometimes. You know, he starts talking about the lion and the bear and the goats and the leopard, and, you know, I used to think that I knew exactly what all of that meant, and the more I read, I don't know what any of it means. I love reading it. I enjoy it. I'm fascinated by it. I don't understand it, right? I don't. And They're just very complex prophecies. When he starts in there about Daniel's 70th week, 70 weeks have been determined upon thy people, and, you know, they will do this for this and this and so many weeks. It is just a swim in the deep end. So it's just kind of unusual for a book to just have so many great stories. And then he starts writing some very important prophecies, but they're just very, very detailed and complex. I wanted you to know that. Some of the things that, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to look at some passages and show you something I saw a few years ago. Now, maybe you've seen this. Maybe you have read someone who has written about this, but I did see this, and I'd never seen it before, and I didn't necessarily read it from anyone, and I'll show you what I kind of found. And at least for those first six chapters, I think there is a theme, at least for me. It's my theme. And every time I read Daniel, I think about this, and it's a good practical takeaway from the book of Daniel, and I want to share it with you tonight. So what we're going to do is we're going to read some of these just little bits from these famous stories, and they all have something in common, and for me, it's a good spiritual takeaway. It reminds me of who God is and just what he can do, and that is a great thing. I'm going to pray, and then we'll just kind of read a few passages of Scripture together. Father, thank you again for the Esquire. Thank you for your word. Thank you for moving people to write things that you wanted them to write. Thank you for preserving your word so we can read it and know what you have said. And that is a blessing, Lord, to know that we know what you have said. That is a blessing, and we appreciate that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's start. And this is a story about when there was a king, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream, and he saw a big statue, and he couldn't figure it out. So he calls in Daniel, and we'll start there. So we're going to go to Daniel 2, starting in verse 26. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. That was Daniel's name, and his name changed, right? So when they went into exile, their names changed. So his name was Belteshazzar, and now it's Daniel. Art thou able? The king's asking Daniel, do you know what this dream means? Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel said, he answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and make known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So the king said, I don't know what this dream means. And Daniel says, you have all these different groups that you've hired that are dream specialists, right? Soothsayers, magicians, astrologers. I mean, the king had them in his court to tell him things like this, and they couldn't. He couldn't come up with the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel says, I'm not able. They're not able. But God is able. God is able to show you what this dream means. So that's kind of the first story. Let's move on. This is about the fiery furnace, and it's when the king built a great statue, and he said, when you hear all of these sounds, I want everyone in my kingdom to bow down before the statue. When I was a kid, we did a musical about this. In fact, I know you've done it here at our church, because I saw it when we first moved here. It's Cool in the Furnace, and we had kazoos, and so when we would all play the kazoos, it was time to decide if you were going to bow before the statue. And it was a kind of a cute musical. and it kind of taught us some a lot about this story. But the three children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow down. They said, we're not going to worship that God. We have the real God in our lives. We're going to worship worship that God. So let's pick it up in Daniel 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So the king, you know, they won't kneel, and he says, okay, are you sure? This is what it means. I'm going to throw you in there. And they said, we're not going to serve your God because our God is able to deliver us. We're going to be saved. And I love what they say. They say, by the way, just in case he isn't able, we're still not going to worship your God, right? We're still not going to do that. So the three children say, God is able to deliver us. This is one of the great stories in the scripture of people taking a stand for what they believe and just believing that God will deliver them. Okay, let's do another one. Let's go to Daniel 4. It is another dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. This dream, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. But thou, O Belteshazzar, this is Daniel, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. So what we have here is the king saying, Daniel, my prophets and astrologers and soothsayers, they are not able to tell me what my dream is or the interpretation. But you are able because God's spirit is with you. Now, we're going to read the last one. It's about Daniel in the lion's den. And for whatever reason, there were people back then that hated Daniel. And they knew that Daniel prayed in the same way, at the same time, and at the same amount of times every day. They knew his routine, and they tricked the king into signing a decree to make that illegal. Now, the king loved Daniel, and he didn't necessarily know that what he was about to sign would get Daniel in trouble, but the people knew. They got the king to sign it as a trick. And the penalty for this was you would get the lion's den. You would be thrown into the lion's den if you did this. Well, it happened. The king signed it. Daniel prayed the same way. They ran and told the king what had happened. And the king felt terrible, but the king felt he couldn't go against his own word, especially since he had signed the decree, and he had to put Daniel in the lion's den. So that night they did. They put him in this cave or hole with lions, and the king felt terrible about it. He goes the next morning, and it says that he said in a lamenting voice, well, Daniel, you know, how's it going there? In fact, let's pick it up. Let's pick it up to Daniel 6, verse 20. So the king is sad about what happened. He loves Daniel. This is the king going the next morning to check and probably see the bad news that the king expects. And when the king came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. He's sad unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. He doesn't expect an answer. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel said, you better believe he is. Amen? You better believe he is. Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. The king is really just talking to himself. He's lamenting. He's talking with a sad voice and said, Daniel, is your God able to save you? Daniel answers back, O king, live forever. I mean, how good is that? What a moment. What a moment, not just in the Bible, in world history right there. Did you see again and again, and we had it highlighted. Thank you, Becca, for always doing a great job on the slides. The word able showing up in all these great stories. Maybe you've noticed that before. Maybe you've read someone who's noticed that before. There's a theme there about whether or not God is able to do big things in almost impossible situations, to interpret impossible dreams with impossible meanings, to get people out of an impossible situation like a den of hungry lions or inside a fiery furnace that was so hot, by the way, that it burned up the men that threw in God's children. So the theme comes up over and over in this book. Is God able to save us in impossible situations? It shows us that God is able to deliver us. God is able. The king isn't able. The king's men are not able. Even if Daniel admits that he himself isn't able, but God is able. He is able to deliver us. You know, knowing that and believing that and experiencing that changed Daniel's character. He was different because he saw that and believed that God had the power, that he had that ability. He was able to come through. This is why I believe that Daniel could pray so long about something and not get an answer and keep praying, because he knew that God was able. In the second half of the book, we won't read verses, but I'll just tell you the quick story. Daniel prayed about something for 21 straight days. He just got on his face and prayed for something, a deliverance, for 21 days, and he didn't get an answer during that time. He did at the end, but he didn't get an answer for 21 days. I don't know many people who would pray for something that passionately, that long, with no immediate feedback. But after 21 days, the Bible says that Daniel gets a tap on the shoulder from an angel. After he had prayed for that long, it was Gabriel, the high angel Gabriel, and he told Daniel that from the moment he started praying 21 days ago, that there was a heavenly battle that Daniel helped influence by his prayer. Hey, I don't understand all of it, but I believe it happened. Gabriel's told Daniel, hey, it's a good thing you kept at it, Daniel. It's a good thing you kept praying, even when you may not have known the effect, even though you may not have known the feedback, you kept going, and you helped us battle some of those forces in heaven, and now I made it, Gabriel says. Here I am, and your prayer mattered, he told Daniel. Now, there are two things I want to say tonight about that can be important for you and me. Number one, our prayers matter. They matter. We may not see anything happen for a while. It may not kind of go our way right away. But when you pray, it does things that we don't necessarily know or see or understand right then. But when you reach out to the Lord in prayer, it matters. You are having an effect. The Bible says the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God says it really matters. The second thing is just that deep belief that shows up over and over in the book of Daniel, and finally you see that in Daniel's prayer, is that when you believe that God is able, it changes the way you live. It changes the way you view things. It changes the way you go into situations and your attitude when you're in something hard. Maybe you're here tonight and you are struggling with whether or not God could forgive you. Maybe you feel bad or guilty or some remorse or regret about things in your life. But believing this can help you understand that if God could deliver them out of the lion's den, out of the fiery furnace, interpret impossible dream after dream, if he is able to do that, then yes, he is able to forgive me of my sin, of my past. That changes the way I live, and it changes the it changes how I feel that God can do what he says he can do. He is able. We saw that 4 or 5 times. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. He can do it. God can do it. He has that ability, and I think that's one of the themes of Daniel. I'm going to close tonight. I told you I liked old songs. This is one. I'm sure you've heard it. I'm not going to sing it because, you would laugh or leave. I don't know which I would want, but the worst. Every time I read Daniel, I think of this song, and I think maybe it was maybe written with maybe one of the stories in mind. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. How many of you heard that before? How many of you know that hymn? I can hear my parents sing that in my head in our little church in Somersville as I read that. I can hear that. It's a song they sang to me when I was a kid, and here I am almost 60 years old, and it makes a difference. Father, we love you. I just want to thank you for being able to deliver us. Lord, we believe that. We believe you have the power. You have the ability to not only get us out of the messes we get ourselves in. You can do that. But Lord, you can save us spiritually and for eternity. You can forgive our sins. You are able to do that. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, next week we will do something different. We will look at the movie from Wednesday night. Hope you come back and bring a friend. We'll see you next time at the Esquire.